Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message, the UK-focused technology podcast with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. He just found a grey hair ahead of the...
I was going to introduce myself as BBC Sounds, but I decided not to.
BBC Sounds. Yeah, we've had emails about BBC Sounds, BBC Sounds. BBC Sounds. It's become a bit of a joke, but for reasons we'll get to in the feedback portion of today's programme, which is coming up after some other stuff, namely... the following. The BBC was actually, you know, before we do that, apologies for not having a show for 2 weeks. It's come at
it's rather, all Nate's fault.
It is. It genuinely is all my fault. Just being very busy, and I think there was some illness, and then I was away at my brother's stag do because he had the audacity of getting married. So a lot of stuff was going on, but we are back, and
it's
I think
perfectly excusable, really, Nate.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm glad. And thank
I mean,
you.
People obviously need to hear what I have to say about things, but well, not every week.
For those of you who were expecting another Ian rant, I can tell you that today will be a day for an Ian rant.
I don't know. I'm just tired. So I'm so tired by the everything being awful.
Yes, I know, mate. I know. It's why I love you. Let's carry on, though, with what I was about to do before.
That's awful.
I'll do that now. The BBC was amongst the many publications who that wrote about Dyson's latest effort to blow and or suck air in new and audacious ways. The BBC said Dyson has taken a step, its first step, into wearable technology. Obviously, nobody's attempted to wear one of the Dyson hair dryers like I have, with an eye-catching pair of over-the-ear headphones that come with an air-purifying mouth visor. Best known for vacuum cleaners, Dyson has diversified in recent years with products such as fans.
And best known for sucking.
Or blowing.
Yeah, all right.
It's suck or blow is the James Dyson way. And a hairdryer, as I mentioned. But these headphones, they're going to be called the Dyson Zone, which I do not understand, are designed to tackle the growing issue of air pollution. Again, the words here of the BBC. But in a separate write-up, Engadget wrote that the visor blows filtered air to your nose, mouth and chin, your chinny chin chin, sort of like a portable fan dedicated to the lower portion of your face, even the south of the face. Engadget said the idea is that people can protect themselves from pollution while out and about, which is not terrible because the other day we had record levels of pollution in London and the advice was try not to go out, and if you do, try not to run. Now, that's not a warning you want to hear when you're running for a flight, as I was at the time. Now, this is where this gets particularly interesting, and don't worry, we will be poking fun at the design in a few moments. But you would be forgiven, I think, for thinking that this product, this air purifying wearable filtration system headphone thing, was the product of the pandemic. But that would not in any way be accurate by quite a long time. My colleague at Bloomberg, in fact, Giles Turner, wrote in 2018 that Dyson had submitted patents for a wearable air purifier. And I remember it vividly because I edited his story. And they patented it earlier that year. That's in 2018. And so the patent was filed, obviously, after the device had been in development for some time. Obviously, otherwise difficult to patent something that they haven't even thought of. Now, at the time, Giles also noted that Dyson does file a large number of patents for products that never make it to production. There was one, there's a hydraulic food juicer. I don't know if you remember hearing about that. That was over 10 years ago at this point. It was back when we were at CNET. Never emerged as a final product. So there is always that. But this one is different because this has made its way into the onto the faces of product testers, one of which was a lady from Engadget. And we'll come back to that. Dyson said that a lot of this stuff about the development time was in fact true, because it had been developing the product for about 6 years. And it describes it in a press release as headphones delivering pure air and pure sound. Curious. Going to be available in the autumn. No price announced. No surprises there. You can assume that it's Dyson, so it won't be cheap. But maybe very good, which is the annoying thing about Dyson, is that it's often over-engineered, but very, very good at what it does, and overpriced to boot.
I'm not sure I agree with that statement.
Go on.
I mean, the vacuum cleaners are really average.
They're very good.
They're not. If you've used a Henry Hoover, mate.
I have.
Henry Hoover is a phenomenon.
I'll give you that a Henry Hoover is a good Hoover.
It's a brilliant Hoover.
It does the job.
If you see a builder with a Henry Hoover, you will never see a builder with a Dyson. 5 seconds on a building site with a Dyson, and that's it for the Dyson. Game over.
But you could say that about anything.
Henry Hoover costs 100 quid and is the best vacuum cleaner on the market, I would say. It's a little bit clunky, but it does the job.
I mean, fair enough. You can buy half a dozen Henry Hoovers or Hoover for the same price as a Dyson.
Not Hoover.
But anyway, this is not the point. The point is that... what was my point?
I don't know. Something about it being great, even though it will be pointless.
Well, no. Before I get into my opinion, though, what is yours?
Why don't we just do something about air pollution instead, is my opinion.
Well, they're not mutually exclusive.
Well, they're not, but
they'll take a long time to fix.
It wouldn't take a very long time to fix.
You
could fix it in 24 hours if you just said no cars in cities. I mean, I'm not a proponent of that. Or if you made all buses hydrogen, that would help. Or if you made it so that deliveries could only happen overnight, but that's impractical.
I'd love that.
Like, there's plenty of things you could do to make the air quality in cities better in very little time at all. It's just there's not the political or societal will to do it. So instead, we're going to excuse the poor quality of the air by by shunting the problem into consumers and making them pay £600 to £700, probably, for something that makes you look like an idiot.
I disagree.
For want of any better terminology.
Have you ever cut yourself?
All the time.
Right. Can you imagine the last cut where you drew blood and put a plaster on it?
Mm.
You know how your skin healed itself over time, but you needed a plaster to stop the bleeding immediately? That's this in a very strange sort of way.
Is it though?
We will fix air pollution, but you can't just replace...
Will we though?
If we don't
do anything about it ever, then no, we won't fix it. I
would love to see cities with no cars and no pollution, in the same way that I'd like cigarettes to not be on sale anymore, let's say, and no one want or need them. But that's not realistic. You can't just ban cigarettes overnight. You phase things like that out.
That is what they're doing.
And that's the same with pollution. We phase it out. And in the meantime, there are things that we can do to make life a little better. However, I don't believe that this is necessarily it, because it looks ridiculous. It really does look ridiculous. And in the Engadget write-up, and I have to say, there were parts of this write-up where someone went lungs on with it, let's say.
Oh, God.
I know you love those sorts of expressions. she went lungs on. She got to try one out, but they wouldn't let her take pictures of it, which bolsters her argument that her biggest takeaway after spending some time with the prototype is that, yes, it does look just as ridiculous as in real life. And that's a verbatim quote from her write-up, which we'll include links to, of course, in the show notes. But the other thing is that there is a whiff of the PR frenzy around something like this with the following paragraph from the same write-up. Quote, once the mask was connected, the motors in the ear cups whirred into life and a gentle, clean-smelling trickle of air started blowing at my lips and nose. It was surprisingly comfortable and, for an obsessive clean freak like me, felt borderline magical. This could only be the personal air bubble I've dreamed of. I may have garbled the words there, but... John in our live chat listening live says, this mask would be good in classrooms. I spend every day walking through a cocktail of kids' farts.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Sold.
Valid reason. Valid. I can think of many good uses for this, but I would never wear one. This is the thing, I'd never wear one. Because as good as I like the idea, I can't get away from the fact that it looks ridiculous.
I wonder if I could wear one so that I don't have to smell myself because I don't shower.
I think you'd be better off giving it to somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
our own odors are never as offensive to us as they are to other people. I would like to point out that I do shower if I'm going to be in contact with other humans. It's just that I spend a lot of time alone and I'm like, well, it's expensive to have a shower now. Maybe I just won't bother.
A good thinking. Just make do with a splash wash, mate.
Yeah.
Just the essentials. The point, though, here is that I don't completely think this will ever come to market. I really don't. And I think if it does, then it will...
It won't sell.
It will come in a... Well, it will come in a... In certain areas, like there is a big problem in parts of Asia with pollution. I mean, to be fair, it's bad in London at the moment, but it's not always bad in London, whereas it is always very bad in some other countries. And so I can see this being sort of a region specific product.
It might go down well in countries which are kind of already doing similar things. Like, if there's lots of people in China already wearing masks to protect themselves from bad pollution, then maybe this will be a decent solution for them. Like, that, you know, it's got the cachet of Dyson, which is very popular. I remember Dyson always being one of those things that sold really well in Japan.
Yeah, they did the robot vax there first. Yeah. Dyson did in Japan.
So who knows? So maybe it won't be a thing that does particularly well in the UK, but it might do well in, you know, Asian countries where obviously Dyson has moved his business anyway to take advantage of lower employment fees.
John makes a good point here. Could rescuers in gas leak environments use this? And that's exactly the kind of thing that I was thinking, like specialized use case scenarios.
I feel like there's already technology for that, though.
There are, but Dyson doesn't make them.
Oh, right. I see. It has to be made by Dyson, does it?
Yeah. And the other thing is, I could be a customer for this if it didn't have the headphones. You know, when I'm cycling in London, I'd love to wear something like this that helped with the pollution, but I don't want to wear headphones while I'm on a bike.
Would you wear that razor mask? Although that was then proven to be complete bunkum, wasn't it? Because it didn't actually filter anything out.
Yeah, and Kate rightly says they do make filtration masks for cyclists, but it's more that, I mean, something specifically the same as what Dyson here has made, just without the headphones.
That's an odd ordering of words in that sentence.
Was it?
Fix it in the edit. It's different. I liked it.
Oh, thanks very mate much. I don't think we have anything else to say about this. It's it's silly, but it sounds like it works quite well.
My usual hatred of Dyson aside, it's stupid. I don't think people will be able to afford to buy it, let alone want to wear it. So let's see what it does.
Okay. Well,
have at it.
I look forward to being denied a review sample when it comes out later in the year based on some of this conversation. But
they won't listen to this.
But I remain optimistic that we will get to try it at some point, if it ever makes its appearance.
I went to Dyson's HQ once.
So did I. Yeah. Oh, no,
it's
wait, I didn't.
It's pretty impressive.
No, I didn't. I was thinking of something else. I met with James Dyson, but not at his HQ, whereas you went to
Was it in
HQ.
Singapore? Did you meet him in Singapore?
No, I met him in Shoreditch somewhere for a coffee.
Using his 6 months of tax ability to come here, was he?
It was while I was at Wired, so it was quite.
So before he abandoned the UK.
Along those lines. Well, let us know any thoughts you have on this by sending us an email, hello@uktechshow.com.
Well, bad news for, well, bad news for Joseph Kelly, at least. He's the most recent victim of the UK's Idiotic Communications Act. He's been sentenced to 150 hours of community service for a tweet he sent about Captain Tom Moore, the veteran who helped raise millions for NHS charities. Kelly's tweet was certainly fairly awful, but it didn't contain any sort of threats, although part of it included the wording, and I've translated this from Scots, the only good Brit soldier is a dead one. Obviously, not the ideal sentiment to be tweeting, but we'll get more onto that later. It's more of a sentiment than a suggestion that Kelly would do any harm to real soldiers. Kelly also explained that he was drunk and deleted the tweet shortly after sending it. Nonetheless, it was deemed to be grossly offensive, and Kelly was sentenced to 150 hours of unpaid work and given an 18-month supervision. Now, obviously, I can see the point of having laws designed to protect people from online harassment, but this really wasn't that. It should have been probably a matter between Twitter, a private company, and the user of that service, and their determination of what is and isn't allowed. And usually I don't have much sympathy for people who get banned from Twitter for saying stupid things. It is, after all, a private company and not a democracy. But when the government takes action against a citizen for saying something stupid, I have to conclude that we do, in fact, have a free speech problem. Using the Communications Act in this way will, apparently, if end eventually. The law will be updated as part of the Online Safety Bill, but I doubt the way it's used will be altered very much. And that is a serious problem.
It is. And I had to recheck this link because somehow when we prepped this story, I hadn't realized that I went to a school with a guy called Joseph Kelly, who would be 36 and had a rather interesting sense of humor at times. but he's not Scottish, so it's not him. It's a different Joseph Kelly, which I'm kind of relieved about.
Yes. I mean, I do wonder. I mean, obviously, we all know what I'm like. I've just recently slandered Americans. Goodness only knows what I've said in my 15 years on Twitter over the years. I mean, I've probably said something easily actionable. I daren't look, in fact.
But everybody makes mistakes. I mean, he deleted this tweet 20 minutes after sending it.
Yes, 20 minutes. Yeah.
It's not,
and he was drunk. I mean, that's not a defense. But even so, I think the act of deleting the tweet should suggest that nothing serious was meant by it. And you might say, well, it's only 150 hours of community service. I mean, I don't really care. I feel like the fact that it went to court is a big problem. This sort of stuff has no place. You know, there was no intended threat. I'm not saying that what he said was tasteful, and I think it's, you know, probably quite it's a very disrespectful thing to say, but I don't think that's a crime. And I'd rather live in a world where people are free to say what they think and then have consequences of that, but not end up in prison.
Well, there was, it must have been about 10 years ago, in fact, wasn't there? That guy, the Robin Hood airport tweet, he made a joke threatening to blow up an airport. This was in Britain, I think. Was it Scotland? It might have been.
No, I think it was England.
It's England, yeah. Well, point
the
is.
The Twitter joke trial. Paul Chambers.
He made a joke. In inverted commas, about blowing up an airport because of delays or something. It went through court. I think he eventually won the case, right? But it was...
He was prosecuted and then appealed and was able to defeat it at the High Court. So it took him 2 years of his life. He lost two jobs in the process, and all over what was very obviously a joke tweet.
Well, I've just Googled that, actually. So it said, BBC. In their judgment, Lord Chief Justice, Lord Judge, Mr. Justice Owen, and Mr. Justice Griffith Williams said, if the person or persons who receive or read it, the message, or may reasonably be expected to receive or read it, would brush it aside as a silly joke or a joke in bad taste or empty bombastic or ridiculous banter, then it would be a contradiction in terms to describe it as a message of a menacing character. There's some words from a lawyer, if you've ever heard
if ever I heard
The quote itself, well, Mr. Chambers, this chap, who, Ian Chambers, did you say? What is it with Ian?
No.
Ian's? No. Paul Chambers.
Sorry. Paul Chambers, yeah.
Yeah. Said, crap. Robin Hood Airport is closed. You've got a week and a bit to get your sh together. Otherwise, I'm blowing the airport sky high.
Now, you do need to make it clear there were exclamation marks in this as well, which
yes, but
sounds ridiculous.
But grammatically, firstly, an exclamation mark was used correctly after crap, I would say. Robin Hood Airport correctly capitalized. Full stops, apostrophes, capital letters in the correct place, commas used appropriately. I mean, these don't sound like the ramblings of a mad person, which lends support to my belief that it was a joke, because someone who meant to do something like this would probably not be quite so articulate. In my experience, from reading ramblings online, they tend to be absolute.
I mean, absolutely. And I'm often amazed by how awful the things that I write are, grammatically speaking. I felt at the time that that was very clearly a joke. And, you know, notable celebrities like Stephen Fry came out to help him battle this. Because, rightly, comedians need to be able to joke. And, I mean, we see it all the time. Jimmy Carr's just had a bad time for saying something awful. I think it's right that he has a bad time. I think you could argue that companies like Netflix need to take better responsibility for not airing those things. But at the same time, if he says it, then we know a lot more about the character of the person saying it, and we can take appropriate action, can't we? You know, be that saying, well, I won't give any more money to this person, whatever, you know. And I think if people found that offensive, then they would be well within their rights to complain to Twitter and say, look, this is offensive. I think you should take it down. And then they would act on that. I do not believe that this sort of thing should be ending up in court, because normal people do not have the means to defend themselves effectively against this kind of lawsuit. Not a lawsuit, but you know what I mean. You know, like they it's expensive to get a lawyer. And, you know, why should people have to defend silly things they write online? Unless it's very clearly constant targeted harassment. And you see a lot of that, and much less action tends to be taken about things like that.
Mm. Just put JK lol at the end.
I mean, that might help.
Yeah, well, I wasn't joking. They do it with ads. You put hashtag ad. Put hashtag JK, hashtag lol. But then that will open a whole can of worms in its own right. Kate makes a more sensible point, though. Playing devil's advocate, she says in chat, what if he'd said, quote, the only good insert minority here is a dead one? Isn't that then hate speech?
Yes, that would be hate speech. And there's a law for that. So, yes, you know, that's perfectly... And that, again, it all comes down to our sense of proportion about things. You know, saying something like that, you know, I mean, I don't want that to be the sort of thing that people feel comfortable saying, and it could be interpreted as a legitimate threat.
Mm.
I mean, you could argue it isn't, and maybe we shouldn't be so. But again, you know, the solution to that might simply be a visit from the police explaining the law. You know, look, you've suggested abusing a racial minority or whatever, or a sexuality or whatever, and that's just not good enough. You're not allowed to do that. I'm sick and tired of everything being a matter for court, when it really just a lot of the time just requires having a word with somebody. And if people keep doing things, then perhaps we act. But
I wonder if we would have different views on this if we'd been the target of something similar. That's not
To be honest with you, mate, I have had 72 hours of constant abuse on Twitter over something I said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just shortly after Sarah Everard was murdered, and
this is off to a good start already.
I felt particularly affected by it because it happened in an area that I and you would used to live in. It was not very far away from where we lived, and I was appalled by it, and I simply I was responding to something. I think it was like, you know, why don't men like take 24 hours off Twitter as a show of solidarity towards women.
Oh yeah, I remember.
And I had 72 hours of abuse over it. Well, 48 probably. You know, I'm not interested in those people being hauled in front of courts for what they said. I think they're idiots, but, you know, mute the thread and move on. It's part of life, isn't it? But, you know, I'd certainly feel like we need to be a little bit more proportional with how we treat things that are said in stupid jest on Twitter. And like I said, you know, we're all one tweet or podcast comment away from utter cancellation or, you know, finding ourselves in court. It worries me as someone who can't keep his mouth shut.
Well, don't worry, mate, because I edit the podcast before it goes out. So
fair enough.
Nothing terrible ever makes it to that. Unless you listen to the unedited version, in which case it's all there in its horrific, offensive glory.
It'll find its way out, I promise you.
Yeah. Well, it's a sensitive topic. There's lots to say. If you have an opinion on this, by all means, as Ian just so rightly encouraged, send it to us unedited at hello@uktechshow.com. I think it's only a topic that's going to get more controversial because it keeps happening a lot, doesn't it?
It seems to. The Verge, incidentally, has a whole breakdown of things similar that have happened. And in fact, you know, there were some... another one targeting soldiers, you know, that where the guy got 240 hours of community service and a £300 fine. And, you know, again, I mean, I don't like it. I'm not someone who thinks that we should be, you know, attacking soldiers or anything. But yeah, there's an interesting breakdown. That's in the link, I believe.
Yeah. Well, we'll have that link. That's at uktechshow.com/episodes. You're looking for episode 271. As always, the links are there. Well, if you are one of our patrons, thank you very much for supporting us. We've got some great supporters in the chat listening live. We've got Gutherman, we've got John, we've got Ken, we've got Nick, Rich, Luna, we've got Kate. It's a great band listening live. And if you are one of our patrons supporting us at patreon.com/UKTech, you are about to hear this week's third discussion story, all about merging instant messaging services. Quick bites of feedback we've had over the last few weeks, Ian. Had a fun comment from Alan, who says, "Hi there, I'm a bit behind with listening, so you might have covered this in the last couple of shows. I would love to hear your and Ian's views on some BBC podcasts only being available via BBC Sounds app for 28 days.
It feels like BBC Sounds
sounds like a big step backwards for consumers." Yes,
yeah, it is.
BBC Sounds. We did talk about this, but I think it was on an Extra Message episode that I did. I think the headline was just BBC Sounds, BBC Sounds, BBC Sounds, BBC Sounds, all caps, all one word. I'm not sure if Alan's a patron, but if so, look at that. If not, well, it's there if you ever do become a patron. I mean, but in principle, we're not big fans, are we, Ian?
No, we're not. And look, I get it. The BBC is always being asked to justify its existence. So from their perspective, I understand. Like, it's difficult. You know, they built this app. They spent a lot of money on it. Maybe they shouldn't have done. Could it have been an iPlayer? Almost certainly. And I'm very against the idea of exclusivity in any kind of podcast. I find it extremely annoying. I mean,
just stop calling it a podcast and then no problem.
Right, yeah.
Because if it's not a podcast, it's not a problem. Then it's catch up. It's just radio.
Yeah, and it is
radio
catch up. I guess.
That's it.
But yes, no one likes being forced into it. People generally don't seem to like the BBC Sounds app. It's a pain. So yeah, you know, I don't understand what the problem is. Just leave it on the podcasts. People will use your Sounds app if they want to.
I'll tell you why. We know why. It's because they need data.
Yeah.
The better data you have about who your listeners are, the more ads you can sell internationally, or the better suggestions you can make to people who use the platform. Like, there are good reasons for it. It's just that
BBC Sounds carry ads for international users, or can you even use it as an international user?
Well, BBC podcasts have an entire commercial thing outside the UK, so if you listen to it in the US, you get ads in them,
right?
But in the UK, obviously there's no ads on any BBC anything. But iPlayer is very, very good, and I don't think we'd be saying the same thing about, you know, we don't think that iPlayer catch-up should all be delivered via RSS or anything like that. It's just that either give us the option or stop pretending these are podcasts. And I think, frankly, if you just stop saying, what's the line they say? BBC Sounds, music, radio, podcasts. Just cut the podcasts off, because that's all you're talking about now is, well, it's radio, it's catch-up, fine. than lead podcasters to the RSS fans.
There is a big difference between that, because obviously music, you can't necessarily have music in a podcast. It's got to be licensed separately. But for catch-up radio shows, the BBC's done those deals already. And, you know, the BBC has one of the most flexible music licenses going. It can use literally anything at any time it wants. So I can see why that makes some sense to them. But again, we're not talking about that. We're talking about podcasts. So that's a very different thing. So yeah.
Very annoying.
My God. They've done the same thing as Google did with their logos, the BBC. They've turned them into a bunch of absolute cack.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference. I think that's what they're talking about.
I absolutely hate that new three-block BBC ident as well. I just hate how far apart they are.
Yeah, Kate says in chat they've gone
sick.
They've gone brutalist. They've gone indistinguishable. What's the difference between any of those blobs? BBC Sounds, it's not a sound wave. Presumably it's meant to be a very close up of a waveform, but if so, why is iPlayer some sort of three-ringed thing? Why is news a bunch of blocks? The news page doesn't look like that. A newspaper doesn't look like that. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm not a designer. Although Kate is, but she also hates it, so, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, if you show it to a designer, they said the same about the Google ones. They're awful. Horrible design.
Yeah. Oh, well. They'll do what they do. Fortunately, the content's still great, and that's the most important thing, I suppose. But nonetheless, if you have other opinions on this, do let them be sent to us, hello@uktechshow.com. And then two really quick final ones. We had one come in from Raphael. I wanted to give a little feedback about the unscripted version of the show, which was 3 weeks ago, I think it was. Was it 2 weeks? 3 weeks ago, I think.
Three, I think. Well, maybe four when we can factor in the break.
Should call it the Ian Rant Show. I agree. Still, I mostly agree with the rant, so I don't mind at all. It helps to know you both better when it's unscripted. Yeah, I think that's true. That's why recently I changed my Patreon tier to the full unedited show, as the outtakes in the edited show were short and not always. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, if you like outtakes, the unedited version of our show is like 45 minutes of outtakes and then 45 minutes of actual content. But thank you, Raphael, for the support. And Matt also says the same. Just to let you know, I thought the unscripted show was great, especially on weeks with little UK news. Just having you both chat about stuff is still well worth recording and is enjoyable for us listeners. So thank you, Matt, Raphael, Alan, for those. We had loads of people compliment the unedited show. A couple of people less so, but...
it's not going to be for everyone, is it? And I talk about the Smith and Sniff podcast occasionally, which is motoring. I mean, I say motoring, laughably so. But, you know, they did an episode recently where they were in a car eating, because they used to do videos like that. Personally, it wasn't for me. I don't like to hear people eating. And I found the sort of squishing crisp bags and stuff very overwhelming.
Oh, my God. That sounds like Kate's worst show ever.
Yeah, I think probably. And obviously it was a one-off, and it was a sort of hark back. They've done 100 shows now. It went back to when they used to do that in video. It's a lot less annoying in video. It's interesting when you can see what someone's doing. It makes the sound of what they're doing much less infuriating. Obviously eating on audio I find horrible, but you know,
the one I really hate, and I hear this predominantly on Radio 4 thanks to their casual relationship with audio compression and
they don't use it
room sound, exactly, but you get the clackiness of a wet mouth
if someone hasn't drunk that. The stickiness between lips or whatever, I really do dislike that intensely.
Radio 4, for some reason, I mean, I know why, but it's just seems to be predominant. But we all can't have a perfect mouth.
People could be encouraged to have a glass of water before going on air.
Can I have a glass of water? My mouth is dry. We may or may not be here next week because I'll be up in Scotland being the best man at my brother's wedding. The best man. He's just a stable boy. As a groom, I am the best man. And I will be back with Ian the weekend after. But we may have something for you next week. We've certainly got some extra messages coming up for people because we're one episode of that behind, and Ian's is due next week too. So there will be plenty to enjoy in the text message universe. But until our next full show in 2 weeks, Ian, anything you want to add?
The text message cinematic universe. Brilliant.
Yeah, the what is that? The Tim No point going on with that.
No, absolutely none.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.